Wendy, you can't get mad at Don Kleppen.
Yes,
they
I
told
can.
Don Kleppen to say.
No, he adds it on his own.
Oh, is he? He's doing that on his own self there? Oh,
he can
Don
do it
Kleppen.
Every other time of the day, but when he says, and now the Wintrust business lunch, that's yeah. on one side of
right.
the earth.
Yeah.
And then we're on the other side.
Yeah.
We're international.
Do you think Don Kleppen is saying that to spite us?
No.
I don't think. He doesn't have a mean bone in his body, that Don Kleppen.
No, he sure doesn't, but I don't think he realizes that he is on the stream as well.
Oh.
Like, we keep his little segment.
Oh.
On, the size doesn't matter, but yeah. We keep his segment, his news
yep.
hunk.
Yep. And he is a news hunk.
Never mind, I'm finished
Don't you
talking.
Think he is?
Yes, I do.
I think he's a news hunk.
Yes,
Don
I
Kleppen.
Do.
How about Jen DeSalvo talking about what's going on in Big Timber? Where's that? Should I know where that is? I don't know where Big Timber's located. Sounds like someplace in Wyoming to me.
It does. Let me check my Google Maps.
Maybe she's now doing, maybe like the way Don Kleppen is serving both two audiences, one on the stream and one on regular, maybe Jen is also doing news for people in Wyoming. I'm not sure.
It's near Elgin.
Is it really?
I think.
Sounds so woodsy.
Big Timber Road. Or there's in Joliet.
Oh, it is?
Big Timber.
I wasn't aware of it until just now.
Yeah, me neither.
I'm going to spend more time out that way in Big Timber. I'm going to get a 10-gallon hat and walk around like I know what's what.
No, I would get a lumberjack shirt.
I may already have one.
All right, because the hat,
I think
the 10-gallon
hat. Yeah, you don't think
work.
That's necessary?
It's near Twin Oaks. Did you know that?
I know where
that,
Twin Oaks is.
It's right there.
By Twin Oaks Farms.
Oh, the Mirai Corn.
Yeah. Yep.
Twin Oaks. What else is around there? Twin Lakes. No, yep. Autumn Lakes.
Autumn Lakes, Big Timber. It's all out that way.
It's near the Joliet Mall. The Louis
Oh, by
Juliet,
I know that area.
Joliet Mall. Near Shorewood.
Yeah.
It's right near Shorewood.
I know that area. By Shanahan? Kind of by Shanahan?
I think that's farther away.
Is it? A little bit further. But you could get there in a day if you wanted to.
Okay. It'd only take me 38 minutes to get to Big Timber.
Once they build the shuttle trams from Chicago to Shanahan, you'll get there in no time at all. You get there in like 3 minutes.
Are you caught up on baskets? Speaking of trains.
No, I'm not.
Come on, catch up.
I will.
And I finished Barry. I'm done.
Isn't that enjoyable?
I just can't tell you how I've always loved Henry Winkler, and mm-hmm. I love him even more now.
Yes.
He's splendid
talented
in this.
And gifted.
And I saw so many people posting pictures of themselves with Henry Winkler over the weekend where Wizard World was going on. And everybody had nothing but great things to say, how pleasant he was. He probably dealt with so many people. He's probably one of the more popular ones out there.
Oh, he'd have to be.
And he had a smile on his face for everyone. What a great man.
Here's my guess on the three most popular people at Comic-Con, just a guess, in no particular order. John Travolta, Henry Winkler, Jeff Goldblum. That's a pretty good 1-2-3 punch.
I think Lou Ferrigno was probably pretty popular, too.
The thing with Lou Ferrigno is, no disrespect, because I don't want to anger Lou Ferrigno, because then he turns green and he starts smashing everything.
And you'd be dead.
Quickly. It wouldn't take Lou. Here's what Lou Ferrigno could do to me. He could put his index finger and his thumb on the sides of my head and just untwist my head and take it off of my body if he wanted to. If he wanted to. I hope it never comes to that. But with Lou Ferrigno, you know that if you missed him at this Comic-Con, he will be at the next one and the one
That's
after
true.
That and the one after that. He's at
You're
every
right.
comic
You're
book
right.
show everywhere in the world.
I had him at my cousin's little picnic.
Did he show up to that?
Too. Yeah, he'll go anywhere.
My belief is there's more than one Lou Ferrigno. There's probably a franchise fee that you pay, and then you become a Lou Ferrigno, and you get to attend any comic book type situations. But he will at some point untwist my head, Wendy. So when he does do it, don't be shocked by it.
No, I won't. And you're right. He is at all of them. I don't think John Travolta's ever been at one before.
I don't think so either.
And it's because of the anniversary of Pulp Fiction?
Yeah.
Was it
25 years, I think. I'm pretty sure it's 25 years since that movie came out.
I wanted to see if there was who got the most draw at Wizard World.
We had announced that, I had announced, I'm not going to blame you for this. This is all on me. John Travolta, we were told, had a very affordable autograph at Comic-Con.
Well, somebody texted us and said that.
But it turns out it was $120.
Got to be honest with you. For John Travolta, that's not that much.
Is that worth it? Yeah. Boy, what did he walk away with then? I don't know how many days he was there and what the hours were, but you could easily sign 100 autographs in an hour, couldn't you?
Yeah.
That's pretty good money.
But I mean, if you were John Travolta, you'd be doing that too. You're just supposed to give it away free?
Well, yeah, I don't know.
And if you undersell yourself, if you say $50, they're going to go, it's John Travolta. Here, I got to give you more.
You think people would offer up more money than the 50?
No, I don't. But I do. If you're looking around, I don't know how much Cato Kaelin's autograph was.
80 cents.
Okay. Well, you definitely want to go above him.
Yeah.
What did Lou Ferrigno charge? You want to be...
So Travolta walks up and down the aisle.
No, you can look at it in advance.
Yeah. All right. I don't know. It's just... I mean, for obvious reasons, I've never charged for an autograph. Do I need to go into detail as to why?
But walking down the street, he wouldn't charge someone. This is people right. are going there to do it. I paid. Dylan wanted an autograph with Stan Lee. I think that was $50.
Yeah,
which he could have probably gone more. Might have been 75. But we paid
that. That easy money. Isn't it? To just sign your name all day?
But some of these people, unlike John Travolta, okay, he's still working, but some of these people, maybe a Cato Kaelin, although I think he's still got something going on.
But Cato Kaelin has made, the bulk of Cato Kaelin's fortune has already come his way, right?
I think he's still doing stuff. He's on TV shows.
Is he?
I think so.
But with John Travolta, he's still in the thick of
things.
Right,
that's what
Henry Winkler still made.
But a Jerry Mathers, what are you doing now?
I guess so. And Jerry Mathers, even when Leave It to Beaver was a show, he wasn't making any kind of money.
None.
I know you go, no, that's impossible. He wasn't. He wasn't making any kind of money. You didn't get any residuals back then.
Who was the guy, who was the actor responsible mainly for getting residuals?
James Garner.
That's right, Rockford Files.
Yeah, James Garner
was a great guy.
Yeah, he changed it for everybody. Because it used to be you'd get paid, I think you got paid when you first did the episode and when it aired, and then maybe one time after, and that was it. So there were so many shows. The shows prior to the Rockford Files, you think, oh, God, the Munsters has been on for 50 years. Those guys must be crazy rich. Well, first of all, they've all passed away, except for Butch Patrick and Wolfie.
Wolfie's
still alive. And I think Spot, the dragon that lived under the stairs, may still be alive also. I'm not sure. But no residuals from all those shows. All those shows there have been running for 50 years. Those guys saw nothing. Unless you were a producer, then you got money.
And most of them weren't producers. Like now you watch a show, like I was watching Preacher last night. God, is it gory. Last season of it is currently happening. And Ruth Negga, who plays Tulip, she's also like a co-executive producer.
Yeah.
You didn't see that. Like, you know, stars of their shows weren't very much into the...
They've all structured their deals so they make extra money.
Now, but back then...
Back then, not at all.
Like, Fred Gwynne was never an executive producer on The Munsters.
No.
Or Car 54. Was he in that?
He was on Car 54, yeah. He was Officer Muldoon, I believe, wasn't he? It was Tootie and Muldoon, but not that... Not Facts of Life Tootie, different Tootie. But that would have been a good show. Tootie from Facts of Life and Tootie from Car 54. Tootie and Tootie, that would have been a great show. I don't know why nobody ever put that together, because that's you can't miss with that show.
And what about Rudy from that movie?
Well, you could either get Rudy from the movie Rudy or from the Cosby Show Rudy. So you got Tootie, Rudy, Tootie, and Rudy.
You need something else.
You need Fresh and Fruity is what you need, but there's nobody.
Fresh Prince.
Right. All right. So
we need a Fruity.
Tootie. You
the
got
Fruit Loop Beast.
Right. The toucan from the Fruit Loops commercials, you're saying?
No. I guess that isn't. I'm thinking of the Crunchberry Beast, but I thought that. No, the Fruit Stripes Gum Zebra.
Oh, the zebra?
Yeah.
I don't think he'd do it. I got to be honest with you.
He's got nothing going on.
Yeah, but he's out of show business now. He lives a private life. I don't think you'd get the zebra from the Fruit Stripes gum.
All right, so what do you have now? You have Rudy.
All right, so if you're doing a show called Tootie Fruity Fresh and Fruity. Wait, Tootie. What,
Rudy Tootie Fresh and Fruity.
You've got Rudy from either the Cosby Show or from the movie Rudy. Tootie. You got either Tootie from Facts of Life or from Tootie and Muldoon from Car 54. Tootie, Rudy, Fresh. You got the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Will Smith.
We need a Fruity. The and, Fruit Brute.
Yeah, Fruit Brute would do it.
Because if a nickname, yeah, you call him Fruity.
Fruit Brute would do it.
How did you not come up with Fruit Brute?
My brain hurts. I didn't use it for 3 days, and now all of a sudden I'm thrust back into the middle of work.
All right, someone is mean from 630 said, we were talking about the Wizard World Comic Con, and it says Billy Zane was there.
Was he really?
Perhaps some people felt bad and just gave him extra money. There is something to be said. When I've gone to these in the past, and I've gone to the Walker Stalker Con because I love Walking Dead, and sometimes you see people there that don't have anybody lined up, and you pity signing.
Yeah. It's happened a couple times. Yes. I've seen it a few times. At one of these, and actually at this one, at the same one in Rosemont, I don't know if they still do this, but there was a time where they would bring in a couple of Playboy Playmates from 20 or 30 years ago. Did you ever
to
see
do
that?
What?
They would sit at a table and sign autographs.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought they were walking around.
No. They'd be at a table and they'd sign autographs. And there was this one woman in particular, and I remember her from when I was in high school. She was in Playboy. And
what page?
I don't remember that.
Was she the centerfold?
87 through 95. And the years had not been kind to her, Wendy. She didn't look
well. This was also
great.
Pre plastic surgery. Not a lot of people.
She had plastic surgery, which I think normally I would say exasperated the situation, but because I'm talking about Playboy, I'm going to leave that part out.
Exacerbated.
Yeah, it did.
Not exasperated.
No, it, everything you just mentioned and more. She sat at this table with nobody, and I was talking to somebody. You know who I was talking to? I was talking to one of the kids from Willy Wonka was set up there.
Oh.
You know? So I'm talking to him, and I'm just and I said to the kid from Willy Wonka, hey, kid from Willy Wonka, I remember when that girl was in Playboy and she was beautiful. And he goes, you're not beautiful anymore. And I go, oh, come on, that's not nice. But he was, I mean, you know. So I watched nobody approach her, and it made me sad because I'm thinking, boy, 30 years ago.
So didn't you go up there and talk to her?
No.
Because that's, oh God, I can't remember who I did that with, but there was no one in the line. So I just went up. I really can't remember who it was. It was a celebrity, but not like a top of the heap one. And I just went up and said, hey, how's it going? And just kind of chit chatted. And they're like, do you want an autograph? And I said, no, I got to be honest with you. I just came to say hello and say big fan.
That was very nice of you.
Because I didn't want to spend the money.
That was very nice of you.
But I thought you did that too.
I don't remember ever doing that to anybody.
But people should do that, maybe.
It's tricky, though, because then if you're the good deed doer, all of a sudden you're getting somebody's autograph, you know, somebody from Buck Rogers, you're getting Tweaky's autograph,
beedie, beedie, beedie,
beedie. And you're like, I just wanted to say hello. I didn't want to spend $30 to get Tweaky's autograph.
Well, you just know in your mind, like I said to this person, you know, oh, can I get you an autograph? I'm like, no, I'm good. Listen, I just want to tell you I'm a big fan and just wanted to say hi.
Yeah.
And then you either leave, or if they're like, oh, well, thank you. Shows are you into? Maybe they start a conversation, because otherwise they're just sitting there.
Yeah, I guess
sometimes
so.
Without a handler. So they're just there by themselves.
Actually, now that you say that, you know who I did talk to just...
I thought there was somebody.
Do you know who Felix Sia is? I know that's obscure. But when I tell you who it is, you're like, oh, of course. How did I not know who that is? Felix Sia. S-I-L-L-A. He's Cousin It from the Addams Family. He was just sitting there by himself, and I talked to him for a little bit. Wouldn't you have? Cousin It? It's your one chance to talk politics with Cousin It. Hey, Cousin It, politically it's crazy, right? Am I imagining that?
Did you get his autograph?
I gave him my autograph. He didn't have it, so I gave it to him, and I charged him half.
See, I would feel so guilty because everybody knows who Cousin It was,
right. But he doesn't look, but he looks like just a guy. He looks like somebody's uncle. Nobody would just look at him and go, well, you must be Cousin It, except he's
a little person.
He's small. Yeah,
and he kind of looks like Cousin It. I'm looking at
that
his
would
picture.
Have been a good icebreaker. Boy, I bet they saved costume money on you.
He's 82. He was born in Rome.
He was a nice man. doesn't do it for you? Cousin It?
I just would feel really bad. And see, that is what's so weird. You're right.
I should have told him he inspired me. I wasn't going to be an actor, but then I saw Cousin It, and I went, I want to be in show business.
See, now that's just mean. It would have been funny.
That would have been so funny.
That to you, but he funny. Would have cried.
Right. But he would have done the Cousin It cry. You know how Cousin It actually sounded...
Is that it?
Yeah,
sort
it was
of?
Sort of like that. It was very... You just did the Tweaky impression from Buck Rogers. It's in that same vocal range as Tweaky. It's that same kind of... like that kind of stuff.
Ishkabibble. That's what I heard you just say.
Yeah. The two of us could have just stood there and talked like that for 45 minutes. That would have been fun.
For him, it may have been.
People walking by. What's wrong with you? Why are you and your uncle talking like that? It's not my uncle. It's Cousin It from TV's The Addams Family.
And it would have been great if every once in a while you kind of like slapped the air, slapped your knee like, oh my God, that's a good one.
Yeah,
you should have done that.
Next time. I'll do that next time. All right, Ryan Burrow, who also played Cousin Ed on one season of The Addams Family, will be by in a moment. He'll give you the news and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right, if I may just tell you, we received a text from a listener, 630, who said Snoop Dogg is the new Cousin It in the new animated movie coming out next month.
That's awesome.
Oh,
I hope
shizzle.
That's true. Yes, Ryan.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely true what you just said.
And I looked it up, and it's true.
Oh, I love that.
Who he voices is, Cousin It in the Addams Family movie.
Who else is in the cast? Do we know?
The cast also includes Finn Wolfhard as Pugsley.
Do you know who that is?
Yes, from Stranger Things.
Yeah.
Which one is he?
He's Mike.
Charlize Theron
Finn
as
Wolfhard sounds like the name of an adult film star to me. Doesn't he? Kind of Finn Wolfhard, doesn't that sound
like... I get it.
It just does.
So, yeah. Anyways, back to Charlize Theron.
Theron will
She's
be Morticia.
That's good.
Oh,
casting.
Gomez. Chloe Grace Moretz as Wednesday.
She's always good.
I don't know her.
There's still money to be made there, you think?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oscar Isaac as Gomez Adams. I don't know who that is.
You do.
Oscar Isaac?
Yeah,
I do.
Yeah, he's in the latest Star Wars movies.
Jennifer Lewis as Great Aunt Sloom.
This has to be the third time round for this?
Well, this one's animated.
Oh, okay.
So that's what separates it. Although, they did a Saturday morning cartoon of the Addams Family
for
a few years. Yeah.
Titus Burgess is Glean. I don't know the
Titus
character.
Titus Burgess is on Kimmy Schmidt, the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Oh, okay.
He's very funny.
And the film is set to hit theaters October 11th, just in time for Halloween. And there's a trailer available if you want to see
it. I would like to see it.
Snoop Dogg voicing Cousin It.
Yeah.
Thank you, listener,
wow.
for texting
That's excellent.
That information.
I hope that wasn't your lead story, Ryan.
Darn it.
I apologize.
Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the
yellow brick road.
No, it's faster.
Yeah,
it's like that. That's how it is.
Did you see the Google thing that's going around?
No.
Ryan, I'm sure you did.
Yeah, I did. I want to know where the other brick road went. Because, right, wasn't the brick road a swirl, but there was another color in there that also swirled. Did
I
that go in different directions?
Went. I don't know, Ryan. That's a good question.
But it wasn't yellow, was it?
It wasn't yellow.
It
but
was
remember,
blue
when
or
they
something.
Start... There's that swirl,
oh, right.
and there's another color in there. So
right.
I wonder if the other color went a different direction.
That would have been a great
storyline.
Follow the aqua brick road.
Doesn't have the same catch to it that yellow does.
If you go on your computer and Google Wizard of Oz, would you do it? Because people can do along. Like, do you know how to get to the Google search bar?
It'll take me a few minutes.
Just Google
a few minutes.
Hold on. We're done at 1. I should be done right around 1.
Just you need to Google... you got to get to Google and Google the Wizard of Oz, and then I will explain what to do.
Hold on. G8 Summit. All right, I'm on the Google.
Right. All right.
Now what?
Wizard
of Oz?
Do you see Ruby Red slippers in the upper right?
No.
I do.
Oh, God.
Oh, no. They're...
Wait.
Okay.
Could you go help him?
Now
hold
I
it
do.
For the
okay.
show.
All right.
Oh, no. Something's happening.
Wait. So you have the ruby red slippers on the right side.
Yeah.
All right. Click on it and right. tell us what happens.
They click together 3 times and everything
and
spins around like there's a tornado.
And then
what do you see
and
in
then
the upper right? All right. Click on
tornado.
The tornado.
Oh, now it.
All right.
Okay.
Whoa. Now there's a house flying all around the screen.
Ah, there we go again.
Going the other way.
I'm getting sick.
Okay, yeah. I have to tell you.
I need a Dramamine.
That Ryan's description of it is a little more exciting than Bill's. Yeah, I click on it. Wow, yeah. I love Google Doodles.
I know you're fascinated by it, but it does nothing for it. Like every day you come in and you go, did you see Google Doodle? And I'll go, why? And you go, it's pepper and salt. They show them both. And I always go, so what?
No, it's the history facts. And I like that because I like to find out what today is known for. This is just a tribute to The Wizard of Oz because in 1939, yesterday, that was when The Wizard of Oz was released. It's no big deal.
80 years ago.
That's wow. That's when we learned about color for the first time, right?
Yeah.
It has audio, too, if you
click. Oh, it does?
It. Yeah.
What does it do, Jess?
You got to listen to it. Yeah. It's very cute. You got to refresh it and go back to the show.
I wonder what the world was like before color.
Didn't you think when you were a kid?
No, hold on. There's no place like home.
And then I'm going to click on the tornado.
That's pretty impressive.
I'm impressed that this computer program can do that. I just thought it was cool.
Did you think when you were a kid that stuff that happened a long, long time ago happened in black and white?
Oh, absolutely.
I did too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was sure of it. I used to see pictures of my grandmother when she was young in black and white.
Yep.
And I was always tempted to ask her, what happened the day that color, like when color exactly. showed up? What did you guys, that much, did you get the day off of school the day that color showed up? What did you do?
What the heck is this? Yeah.
Well, there are some fast facts about The Wizard of Oz. And, Bill, I know you'll probably know all these.
I might not.
But there were some. I'm going to start with the one that I know you know.
All right.
The original Tin Man was hospitalized after a makeup disaster.
Yes. Ray Bolger. He was allergic to the makeup. It almost killed
him. Buddy Ebsen.
Oh, Buddy Ebsen. What did I say?
Ray Bolger was the scarecrow.
Buddy Ebsen almost died from the makeup.
He woke up in bed, according to the South Florida Sun Sentinel, screaming from violent cramping in his hands, arms, and legs.
Yeah.
He had difficulty breathing. His wife called an ambulance, rushed him to the hospital. He remained in an oxygen tent for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Wow. Recovering from the pure aluminum he had ingested into his lungs from his days in makeup as the Tin Man.
So yep.
Not really an allergy, just he got aluminum in his lungs.
In his lungs.
Ugh. He'd say it was worth it. Maybe. Now, knowing what we know now and right. how historic of a movie right. that is, it's like.
But then he ended up. He was Jed Clampett, and he was.
Did he fall into the pigs?
No,
she fell into the pigs. Did he rescue her? I can't remember. I'm trying to think how that scene went. Then
I can't remember.
This is an interesting little addendum to the Tin Man Buddy Ebsen thing. Rather than being sympathetic to his severe reaction, the studio was furious. Ebsen says, they told me to get the hell back to work. When the studio was told that Ebsen, whose skin had turned blue during his reaction, could not immediately return, production replaced him with Jack Haley. Though the aluminum makeup was changed, it still caused Haley a serious eye infection.
Wow.
In lesser makeup horror stories, actor Ray Bolger, who played the Scarecrow, removed the rubber prosthetics mask from his face the last day of filming to discover he had burlap scars around his chin and mouth. He said it wasn't porous, you couldn't sweat, you couldn't breathe. We felt like we were suffocating. Meanwhile, Margaret Hamilton's friend alerted her about a month and a half before filming ended that she looked so odd. When she looked in the mirror, the actor realized the friend was right. Her Wicked Witch of the West makeup had sunk into her skin.
Yikes.
It was months before her skin was normal again.
Wow. I wonder how long it took the flying monkeys to get back to normal.
Who did the makeup for Wizard of Oz? Monsanto?
Good one. The Cowardly Lion costume was constructed from actual lion hair. Did you know
that? Yeah, I did know that.
Oh, I didn't know
that. I also knew that Margaret Hamilton almost died on the set. She almost burned to death. There was some mistake. Does
that's
it say
the other
that?
One.
Oh, yeah. She almost burned.
Yes. It says the Wicked Witch of the West caught on fire.
Yeah.
While filming the scene in which the witch disappears in a flash of smoke, the effects crew started their fire before Margaret Hamilton had enough time to safely exit the stage. The flames caught on her broom and her hat. It scalded her chin, the bridge of her nose, her right cheek, and the right side of her forehead.
Yikes.
The eyelashes and eyebrow on her right eye had been burned off. Upper eyelid and were burned badly. When she looked down, her skin had been burned off her hand.
Wow.
incapacitated, a friend had to pick her up from the movie studio. That was always amazing to me that the studio didn't send me home in a limo, she recalls.
Yeah.
And here's another one, which you probably know, because Bill knows everything about movies.
I don't know everything.
You're pretty good at most of these things. Mm. The snow that was falling when Dorothy
asbestos.
Fell asleep. Yeah,
I knew that.
No.
That's what they used for snow in several movies, not just Wizard of Oz.
My goodness.
They used asbestos flakes.
And then they started using Hobbies. Soap flakes, right?
Yeah, yep.
Yeah, in the days before computer-generated effects, film crews had to rely on practical tricks to stimulate snow. In the scene in which Dorothy's awakened in a poppy field, it used chrysotile asbestos. And
I'm not defending them, and it's 80-plus years ago. But at the time, there was little to no risk of people had no idea how bad asbestos could be for you.
Yeah.
It just looked like snow on camera.
And then they walked off the set and started smoking, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like...
Right. Right.
That's
there was
true.
That.
Yeah. Well, we had asbestos on our house, and we had to get a special environmental crew to rip it down.
Yep.
And there was beautiful original woodwork from the 1860s underneath it.
Really?
We were lucky. A couple of spots had to be repaired, but we could have pulled that down and it could have been nothing.
Yeah.
But they were telling me that people went door to door selling them and saying, you know, these tiles, when we put it on over your existing wood, yeah, they're made of asbestos, which is good because it's fireproof. You don't have to paint it.
Right.
So everybody said, oh, yeah, give me those.
Yep.
And then years later found out what the deal was.
Yeah. Yeah,
but they had to wear those costumes.
Like space suits.
Yeah,
I know.
And they had to dispose of it. I don't even know. We had to go through the environmental agency to get that taken down.
Yep.
Shortly after Hamilton returned to the set after catching fire, she was asked to film another fire scene. Hamilton, a single mother, refused to take part in the stunt, but her double acquiesced and promptly caught fire herself.
Oh no!
After flames again caught on the broom. I felt as though my scalp was coming off, Betty Danko recalled, after spending 11 days in the hospital.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Weren't there any safety?
No.
They weren't
they
very tight back
right?
then
yeah.
with everything.
Well, and that had to be one of the first films where, I mean, I can't think of any where the costumes were so
elaborate
right?
Yeah.
For a motion picture.
Right. No question.
Gone
about
with
it.
The Wind. I mean, I guess in a different way.
Yeah.
They were elaborate, but not makeup and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely.
That woman, Betty Danko, she was the body double, or the double, the witch double.
For the witch.
You know how much she got paid for her?
It's going to be embarrassingly low. Was it $20 a week or something?
It was a little better, $35 a day.
Yeah, that's a little better, but still, to risk your life.
And the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
I mean, I know back then they didn't realize how amazing it was going to be, but still.
Right.
That's a joke.
Did you ever see the scene? There's a song called the Jitterbug that got cut out of the movie. Did you ever see that?
No.
They don't have the whole complete scene. They've got all the music for it, and then they have some raw footage that somebody took, some home movies of them filming it. But they just said it slowed down. It's really weird. The two notes they had when they first finished the movie were that the jitterbug slowed down the movie and that the song Somewhere Over the Rainbow ended all the momentum that the movie was building when they had that song. It's like people just went, oh, who cares anymore? Enough with this. But then it turned out that was one of the most favorite movie moments.
Yeah,
of the whole
it was
film.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
She had such a beautiful voice.
Yeah, she did.
What's hot, what's cold? That was The Wizard of Oz because it's
Margaret Hamilton was hot.
And then her double was hot, too. All sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
What do the soldiers say? When they're marching back and forth.
Oh, all we owe, we owe her. Is that what we figured out?
It's not Oreos.
No, it's not Oreos, although that would be a great commercial.
I just get hungry when I'm watching.
Wouldn't it be a great Oreos commercial to have those monkeys? Or no, it's not the flying monkeys.
Not yet.
That.
Not
it's
yet.
The guards, right? Yeah, it's the palace guards.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think
we came up with all we are, we owe her, right?
Oh.
It's all we owe. Wait. Sorry. Wait. Let me do it again.
All we owe
her. Something like that.
Is that what it is?
I get what you're saying. All we are, we owe to her.
Yeah.
Who's that?
It's hard to make it out.
I don't know. I think they just say oh.
Oh, we owe. Yeah, something like that.
Might just stop the
beautiful, end.
And one guy's
though.
Saying REO Speedwagon. He's the one guy that's really in the
wrong. REO Kevin Cronin.
Yeah, that's not. Those aren't the right lyrics. Why is he saying that? Did you go through a thing where, all right, so they always showed it when we were kids prior to having VCRs and DVDs. They'd show it once a year, right?
It would be Easter or something like that?
Right around Easter. Okay. Yeah, right around Easter.
Why was it correlated to Easter?
I don't think it's correlated to Easter.
So was Sound of Music, wasn't it? Sound of Music they would always show around that time?
Ten Commandments.
Well, that, obviously.
Because that has some tie-in.
But The Wizard of Oz, why wasn't that like a summer movie when tornadoes happen? Because no one watches TV in the summer?
I don't know the answer to that. But like for when I was a kid, I watched it every year. I couldn't wait. And then like I went through this 8 or 10 year period where I was fed up with it.
Yes, you
like,
just did too much.
Seen it too much.
I know.
But then when I went back and saw it again, I'm like, oh my God, it's even better than I remembered it being.
I took a break as well. And then coming back, you were like wowed all over again.
Yeah.
I'm still, if it's on, I will watch it. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it is. Especially when you consider it was made 80 plus years ago because the special effects still hold up. You know, you can't say that about the special effects of too many movies. When you watch other movies that had state-of-the-art special effects, you see them now. Even Indiana Jones, like that end scene where the Nazi melts, when you see it now...
Spoiler alert!
Sorry.
For 30 years or whatever.
Right. But when you see it now, you just went, you could make a better version of that with your camcorder, with your phone now. Than that was.
The sock scene where the socks get pulled up under the house. Yes. I mean, that looks pretty real.
That's very real.
It's pretty scary, too. Yeah. 331 says the first movie shot in color was in 1918. It wasn't new in 1935, just very expensive. Is that true, former film student Bill Love?
In the 30s, you had very few movies that were in color yet, you know? And I can't remember another movie doing what they did where... For emphasis, the Kansas scenes are in black and white, and then for magic, the Oz scenes are in color. I mean, that was just whoever thought of that was
genius.
Brilliant because that's such a great move.
What was that? Paramount or MGM?
MGM. Did that? It's MGM.
Okay.
The first film shot in color was Cupid Angling, made in 1918. The Wizard of Oz and Gone with the Wind were made in Technicolor in 1939, a process that had been around for quite some time by then. There were hand-colored segments in movies dating back to 1902.
But they didn't just use color. It was such a vibrant color. You know, there was so much of it. Like a lot of times when you see movies from the 40s where they're colorful, it's a very faded color.
Yeah, it's very drab.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then other information, the 1935 film Becky Sharp, based on Thackeray's novel Vanity Fair, is generally regarded as the first color movie, meaning the first to use the technology of three-color Technicolor.
Oh, interesting. All right. Becky Sharp?
Yeah,
I've never heard of that movie. Who's in that?
I don't have that information at this point. I just have an answer of the name of the movie.
Hmm.
It was visually arresting but weak on story and is remembered today chiefly for it being the first true color movie.
Yeah.
However, the first film to be seen in theaters, at least partially in color, was the great 1927 French film by Abel Gance, and it was Napoleon.
Yep.
The final 20 minutes of this nearly four-hour epic was shown on three side-by-side screens, in essence creating Cinerama.
Oh.
30 years before it actually arrived. For the stirring finale, each of the three screens was bathed in color, red, white, and blue, of course, for the French flag. That's pretty interesting.
You had to make sure that they were synced up, or that would have looked horrible if they didn't have it at the exact right second.
Yeah. Huh.
Did you guys have home movies when you were a kid at all? I don't know if anyone in your family had like a Super 8 projector and a camera.
Sure.
So we had one that had the ability to have talking movies, but what was happening is when you were filming it, like you'd be filming a birthday party, you had to have a tape recorder that was attached to the camera, and then when you showed it, the tape recorder was attached to the projector, and if it was never right on sync.
Oh, so
it was always
like
off
Godzilla?
By a second or two. Yeah. Yeah. The idea was great, but it was so frustrating. My dad would get so frustrated, like, I got to try it again. I was off by a half a second. You could never get it right on time.
Synced, yeah.
So hard.
This went on to say that film, Napoleon, had been lost to any public viewing for decades when British film historian Kevin Brownlow restored it to approximately what had been originally shown in 1927. Then Francis Ford Coppola arranged to have the restored film screened before 6,000 people at Radio City Musical Hall.
Oh, I remember this.
With a 100-piece orchestra.
His dad led the orchestra.
His father, Carmine Coppola.
Yeah.
And it was a huge event. Wow.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Huh.
So there you have it. That was technically Napoleon, 1927 French film.
I wonder how they did that in theaters, because theaters were set up at the time to just have the one screen. So I wonder how they could have extended it to three and have it fit, because most theaters wouldn't have had the capacity to make that work.
I'm sure they added two screens to it. It's Francis Ford Coppola.
No. Not then. I mean, when it first came out.
Oh, you're right.
I don't know how they could have swung
special
that.
Special movie house, obviously, because it's not like any other movie house had that.
Right.
That's a pretty cool little film nugget.
But by the time they did the reissue, you know how, I don't know if you remember this, but in theaters sometimes when you'd see a movie, and actually this it translated to television too, with the ones that were widescreen, because remember how TVs when we were growing up were just square?
Yeah.
But they wanted to get the whole thing on television. So like sometimes you'd see at the top and the bottom of the screen there was like a swirly line.
Oh yeah.
It was a different color bar and then a square, just so you could see the whole film at one time.
Mm-hmm.
Miriam Hopkins and Francis D, if that means anything to you, were in Becky Sharp from 1935. A listener texted
Wow.
And then
set
against the background of the Battle of Waterloo, Becky Sharp is the story of Vanity Fair by Thackeray. Becky and Amelia are girls at school together, but Becky is from a showbiz family.
Oh, that ruins everything.
Or in other words, very low class.
Yep.
Becky manages to insinuate...
Those are synonymous. If you're in a show business family, low class.
I would have thought the other way.
No. Circus people.
Oh.
Yeah.
I think showbiz means different things. Kim Kardashian told me what it meant.
Yes.
Becky manages to insinuate herself in Amelia's family and gets to know all their friends. From this possibly auspicious beginning, she manages to ruin her own life, becoming sick, broke, and lonely, and also ruins the lives of many other loved ones.
Yeah, that has to be seen in color, Wendy. You couldn't tell a story like that in black and white. It would never translate. That needs to be in color.
Becky Sharp. Never heard of it, but now I have.
Ryan, thank you for hanging out.
Thank you.
We will close things off next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Wait, it's over already? The bonus hour just started. What happened?
I don't know, but I'm going to look for Becky Sharp on Netflix and try and watch it.
Yeah, big screening party at your house?
Sure, you want to come?
All the listeners are invited. We'll give out the address tomorrow. It'll be fun.
Well, the screening party's tonight.
Oh, it's tonight? Oh, I can't make tonight, Wendy.
All right.
I thought you were saying tomorrow.
No.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We greatly appreciate it. Tomorrow, more fun. I want to thank Steve Dale. I want to thank Eric Zorn. Should I thank Ryan? It's part of his job.
Ryan Burrow.
Thanks to Ryan Burrow.
Orion, too.
Orion Samuelson.
Yeah, I got to thank Orion also.
Why do you have to think about it?
Because Orion's on again tomorrow. I want to.
Look, we'll thank him again tomorrow.
I was going to give him an extra huge thanks tomorrow. But now I'll just. All right, small thanks today, small thanks tomorrow. Don't want to give him too much at one time.
Go to his head?
It would mess with him.
His head of lettuce?
Yeah.
He's a farmer.
Right, I know. All right, that's it for us for today. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.